Let me say good morning to everyone. We want to welcome you, those that are visiting with us. We want to welcome you to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Amen? Amen. And for those that were here early, I was able to personally say good morning to you. And those that I didn't get a chance to, want to say again, good morning and welcome to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Yeah, I think Brother Daniel's song was appropriate. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 4 and about verse 18, how the Lord stood with him. So we have to understand that God will always hold our hand. Amen? Yeah, sometimes we let go of his hand, but God will always hold his hand. How, Brother Stroud, do I hold God's hand? Well, one of the ways that we hold God's hands is when I come to worship God. Amen? That's me holding God's hand. I can't be holding God's hand if I'm not worshiping the Lord as God has commanded. And we find in the text, and just to remind us about worship service and holding God's hand, and those that are, I want to just be mindful of those that are sick and shut in, that are worshiping at home because you, because of inconvenience, not able to assemble, you are holding God's hand when you participate in the five acts of worship. And so we find in Acts 2:42, those five acts of worship, when they assembled to worship the Lord, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And so we've met already three of those four. Fellowship is when the word fellowship means to share. You share with the Lord what the Lord has blessed you with. Amen? We call it giving or offering. You got to give faithfully to the Lord. And then he talks about in breaking the bread, we've communed with the Lord. And that bread and that fruit of the vine, we've talked about before, bread representing the body of Christ. And the fruit of the vine, we've talked about before, showing you that's the blood of the grape. Represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we also were led by our brothers in prayer. Amen? Amen. And then in verse 47, Luke wrote, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we know that the fifth act, the apostles' doctrine is what we're going to hear from myself on this morning. Teaching from the Word of God. That's what it basically means. Apostles' doctrine is when you have teaching from the Word of God. And then we have to praise God. We all should be singing with the fruit of our lips. Hebrews chapter 13, that we praise God for what God is doing in our lives. Amen? Yeah, we should come here and be wanting to praise God, thanking God sometimes for things simply being as well as they are. Yeah, sometimes things can be worse. And so we want to praise God. And then Luke wrote, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And we want to say, according to that text, if a person is not added to the church, they are not saved from their sins. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, there's only one, I'll share with you what God has commanded through the Word of God, what one must do in order to be added to the church. No one is saved. No one can go to heaven until they are saved from their sins and living faithful to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, so I want to share that again. It's good to see everybody. It's good to see those that hadn't seen, as the young people say, for a minute. But it's good to see. Amen? Amen. And so on last week, we studied from the title, Nevertheless, I Am Not Ashamed. It was encouraging us, the Christian, to not be ashamed of the cause of Christ. Amen? And so in the morning, just to remind us, we're studying from Paul's second letter to Timothy. And we're looking at that letter this morning, and we want to allow us to develop those characteristics that we find in the Bible. And so on this morning, we're picking up, we finished on verse 12, so we're picking up in verse 13 on this morning. But our subject title for this morning, for he ought, or oft, excuse me, refreshed me. That's the title. For he oft, and the word oft simply is short for the word often. Yeah. Paul said, for he often refreshed me. Three questions we want to answer from the message this morning. What does the word refreshed mean in the scripture? Number two, am I a Christian that refresh others? And thirdly, may there be an eternal blessing for those that refresh others. So be mindful as we go through the text. Those three questions we want to answer from the closing of what is referred to as chapter number one in Paul's second letter to Timothy. So we pick up at verse 13. Paul wrote, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And the word form here, Paul was telling Timothy, he wrote to the preacher that was in Ephesus. Paul told Timothy, I want you to hold firm on the pattern of sound words. He said, which thou hast heard of me. He said, I want you to do it in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Preachers today are to preach and to teach from the inspired scriptures. Yeah. That's what we ought to do. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Peter said, amen. So again, the preacher, you know, we've heard this statement, and a while back, I hadn't heard it recently, but, it says about preachers, speak where the Bible and be silent where the Bible is. Yeah. So it's my responsibility. Whenever I'm up here and I share something from the Word of God, I'm sharing that which inspired men have written. And so it's my responsibility to give book, chapter, and yeah, when I say something. We got to stay with scripture. And so again, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Everything God wants us to know, and Peter said that, everything God wants us to know. Look at your Bible. Go to 1 Peter. Let me share you that with that. 1 Peter. Is it 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Brother Stroud? I ain't got my glasses on like you, Brother Daniel, so I'm going to just feel through this stuff. And maybe I'll find it in the scriptures. Yeah. No, but the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, in Peter's second letter, look at verse number 3, what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter said, according as his divine power has given unto us what? That pertain unto and through the what? Of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Yeah, we don't need no more writings. God has given us everything we need to live godly and to make it to heaven. Sometimes our challenge, and we'll talk about this morning, is trying to apply those things. Because life can throw you a curveball. Yeah, life can take the wind out of your sail. Situations, circumstances, difficulties can take the wind out of your sails. Amen? But I want us to know that God has given us the word. And the word oracles in that that text means those are statements from God given by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, statements from God that are given through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave us the word. So Paul said to Timothy, I want you to make sure that you hold fast. And I'm supposed to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Those things that I find written in the word of God, that's what I teach from. Amen? And then he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, he said, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so we talked about earlier, if you have your Bibles in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, where Paul talked about the gift that Timothy had, he said, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. And we talked about and shared clearly how during that time the apostles will lay hands on individuals. And then we talked about the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians, where they had, some had gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom. They had different gifts, but it came by the laying on of hands by the apostles. Yeah, we don't have no apostles living today. Yeah, so we have the word of God that we can follow with. And so again, the Holy Spirit gave the word to inspire men. And we find when Peter, also in that letter, in 2 Peter 1 and 21, Peter said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so those things that Paul was telling Timothy, that you've had the laying on of hand and you've been given a gift. And so Timothy was to teach those things that God has said. Amen? And then he talks about, in the next verse, he said, this thou knowest, he told Timothy, you know this, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He said, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He said, those two have turned away from me. And he said, they've turned Asia away from me. And I want to say to us, there will be those in the Lord's church that will turn away from the inspired word of God. What do you mean, Brother Starr, by turning away? Well, Paul, when he wrote to Titus, he talked about three things in that verse, verse 14. He says, first of all, he said, be careful when you allow culture to move you from Christianity. I talked about this before. I said, be careful that you don't allow your ethnicity to come before your Christianity. Yeah, I'm going to slow down and let that catch up with us. Yeah, don't let your ethnicity, you know what your ethnicity, your culture is. Don't let it take first place before your Christianity. Paul told Titus, not giving heed to Jewish favors. He was telling them, be careful what you listen to. And commandments of men. Be careful when men start giving commands that's not in the word of God. Those are commands of men. He said, watch what he said, that turn from the truth. Yeah, be careful. Paul told Titus, be careful. You're preaching now, they ain't creep. Be careful now that you be careful that people don't start going around and listening to all these their Jewish fables and then hearing other men say stuff, and those are commandments from the men, and what they're doing, they're turning from the truth. Yeah, we say, well, what is truth, Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn your Bibles to John 17. Yeah, what is truth? Yeah, John 17, verse number 17. Let's exercise our Bibles this morning, even though we're studying. Jesus said in John 17, in verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. When we turn from the word of God, now we're listening to commandments of men and we're listening to fables from other people. Fables are just simply stories. Yeah. We want to stay here. We want to be sound. Amen? And so Paul then said in verse 16 where I get my subject title from. Now Paul now goes from verse number 15 to verse 16. And what he's going to show now, how someone was opposite of those two brothers who were in Asia who had turned from him. Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto, notice now, the house of Onesiphorus. Yeah. He said, the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. The word chain simply means to be in prison. Paul was a prisoner. We're going to show you in the text that Onesiphorus was not ashamed of the fact that Paul was a prisoner. So Paul now writes of one whose behavior and treatment of him was opposite of those that were in verse 15, those two brothers. And so this tells us about the home of Onesiphorus. What does the word refresh mean? The word refresh means a way to give someone rest and free them from their tensions. Able to restore one's strength, you are giving them relaxation. Yeah, that's what it means. So Paul said, when it came to, notice now, he said, when it came to the house, not just Onesiphorus, but his whole house did this. Paul said, when I was in Ephesus, that house was a place of shelter. It was a place of protection from the tensions that was associated with preaching the gospel of Christ. You know, some people think it's not an easy job. Amen. Paul went through some things. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll just show you one thing that he went through and how he dealt with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you with Paul what he had protection from. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 28, he said, beside those things, he talked about what he had went through and dangerous with robbers. Verse 26, I read that on last Sunday afternoon. But he said, verse 28, he said, but those things that are without, those are people that are without the church. He said, that which cometh, Paul said, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Paul said it, that when you're going through this, sometimes all that weight is on your shoulders. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And Paul said, however, when I got to this house, This home was a place of security, a place of retreat. And also, he gave encouragement to the preacher. Yeah, that's what it means to refresh. Now, I can say this. I'll say this on a personal note myself. The Lord has blessed me with a wife, thank God, that when I come home, I get rest and I'm free from the tensions that's going on in the world and other places. Yeah. I'm also able to restore myself. Yeah, and strengthen myself. Because I got to get up. She told me, if you won't work, you ain't going. Yeah, so I got to get up and go get it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. She told me, say, you're going to get up and get out of here. You're going to go do something for 8 hours. Yeah, if you just go stand on the street corner, you're going to do something. You're going to leave here. You're going to get up every morning going doing something. Amen, somebody. Yeah, yeah. You got to encourage that man. We have to provide. Amen. God said that. Yeah, you know it. When God gave Adam, he didn't give him a wife till he gave him a job. Yeah, he had a job first. Then he got a wife. Yeah, and I'm telling our young sisters, no man. Let me stop right here a minute. No man is a fit candidate to marry until he got a job. Yeah, and he got a steady job. Yeah. And he ain't got, well, honey, you know, babe, I got this new job. Okay, okay. Now, you got a new job? Yeah, I got a new job. Well, how long were you at your other job? Well, I was there for 3 months. Okay. Now, what about the job for that? Oh, I was there for about 6 months. They made me mad. And I left. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Yeah. You want someone that shows consistency in their life. That don't mean we all fall. We all fall down. But you got to get up and go get it. Yeah. So I'm telling our young people. Yeah. Make sure he is proven that he can provide for you. Because there's no scripture in the text that commands a woman to work. There is none. Yeah, Lydia had a job, but that wasn't no command. Yeah. Yeah. I think Paul talked about the young women that they have to go out there. If you're single and you got to provide for yourself. Oh, it's quiet in here. Let me move from there. Yeah, I'm going across that territory. I want to bless us. I want to make sure that we are well-rounded as a Christian. Because sometimes we marry somebody, then we find out later. And then you want to come and talk to the preacher. Can't do nothing now. Yeah. You need counseling before you do it, not after. Yeah. You need to make sure. And sometimes you may come down and say, well, you know, sister, you know, it's your choice, but I will share with you. Not now. Not now. Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, give him some rope. Give him some rope. If he don't know how to handle it, he'll hang himself. Yeah. Cowboys know how to handle the rope. He may not be no cowboy. Amen, somebody. In my text. I was talking about my wife and taking care of me. So I'm just simply saying that in relationships, what you're saying, Brother Stroud, home ought to be a place where you come restore yourself. And the relationships ought to be such that you encourage and restore one another. Amen. You know, I say to Sister Stroud, let me just tell you this here. I want your life to be such that if you got any tensions or issues, it's not coming from me. It's not coming from me. Yeah, it's not going to come from me. I'm going to do all I can as I continue to learn God's word. As Peter said, I dwell with you according to, yeah. Now that knowledge is not biblical knowledge. Let me say that. That's experiential knowledge. That's knowledge based on experience. I know how she is. And sometimes with brothers, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble when we start comparing our wife to somebody else's wife. Yeah. You're not married to her. You're married to me. And I don't need you to tell me how good she looked. Tell me how good. Yeah. Because Vidal Sassoon says, if she don't look good, you don't look good. She is representing me when she's out. Amen, brothers. When your wife is out, she's representing you. And you want her to look her best and be her best. And we are to provide the best we can for her to the best of our ability. And if I have a job, a little job, and making a little money, then Sister Stroud is supposed to manage that little money. That's what God says. Keep the house. Let me get back to my text. Yeah, I'm just trying to help us. I'm helping us, but I'm also helping myself. That's what the word refresh means. Paul had a place that I showed in 2 Corinthians 11:28, that he was having pressure on him from those that were not Christians. Remember one time he said he had to dust off his feet. You know, sometimes pressure comes from those in the world, and sometimes pressure can come from those within the church. Yeah. Paul said that come upon me daily. And he said, and the responsibility I have for all the churches, knowing what God had given him. Well, Paul said, verse 17, he said, but when he was in Rome, now he's talking about Onesiphorus, let me correct that. He said, when he came to Rome, Paul said, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. Now, you have to understand, when Paul went to Rome the second time, he was a prisoner. And those that look at geographically, I looked it up, Ephesus is about 1,200 miles in a car from Rome. So when Onesiphorus went to Rome, he had to travel days just to get to Paul. And then not only when he got to Rome, Paul said he had to find me. I was among other prisoners. Paul said he sought me out and he found me. Why, Paul? He found me that he could try again to refresh me the best he could. Yeah. Sometimes we have members that are in hospitals and you go where they are. And our responsibility as a Christian is to try to refresh them as best we can. Pray for them. Let the Lord know. I think our sister today was allowing people to speak to one of our sisters that has a procedure coming up. And so that allows us to refresh her. Amen. And so we need to take time out to look at those that are sick and shut in and those that want to be visited. And I'll say to this, anyone that wants a visitation from the minister, all I need to know is that you're available to be visited. Yeah. I take on that responsibility. Yeah. And make it where I come and visit you. We have a sick and shut in list. No one on that list that I'm just saying what my responsibilities are, not saying what I do. I'm saying what my responsibilities are is though everyone that want to have a visit will have a visit from Brother and Sister Stroud. Yeah. So I can encourage you and let you know we're there for you and in your sick and shut in. Because guess what? One day I may be there. And I would hope those, I tell people when I worked at the jail, I would tell people when I see them in orange, and they say, well, sir, you going to do this for me? You going to do that? I said, let me just say this to you, sir. I said, I don't know how life is. One day I may be in an orange uniform. Because everybody that's arrested haven't been proven that they committed a crime. They just got arrested. And I say to them, I say, well, I hope that if I was ever in jail, I would meet myself in here. Meaning that I find someone that would care for me like I'm concerned about you. And I'm saying to us, we need to, as a Christian, we need to have a spirit that we want to refresh people. And then Paul said, the Lord, don't miss this. The Lord grant unto him, Onesiphorus, that he may find mercy on of, let me start it over. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Paul told Timothy, thou knowest very well. Paul said, remember I talked about that there may be an eternal blessing? Paul said here, I'm asking that the Lord would give you mercy in the day of judgment. When you stand before the Lord on a Onesiphorus, I'm asking God to give you some mercy because of how you refreshed me. So that may be an eternal blessing in the fact that you were one that had a spirit that you often, you refreshed people. You visited people. You was concerned about people. Cared about them. Paul told Timothy, you know how many times the word minister here means to serve. He said, you know, Timothy, very well how many things, this wasn't no one-time situation, how many things he did for me when I was in Ephesus. He said, you know that. He know that. And for that reason, I'm asking God that he would give him some mercy. When we stand before the Lord. You know, when we stand before the Lord, all of us are going to need some mercy. We're going to need mercy. How do I get mercy, Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. Jesus said to us in Matthew 6:20, Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust do it corrupts, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The Lord was telling us we need to lay up deeds in heaven. Deeds in heaven. Now I'm talking about how Jesus and Acts when Luke wrote about it. Jesus went about doing good. We need to do good to other folk. Yeah. And I'll tell you what will help you in your growth. When you do things, and that's my closing scripture, so I'm gonna leave it there. I'm closing. When Paul said in the Roman letter, Romans 12:17, if you want to go there, I'm just going to give you this to tell you how, what would help us in our growth. Paul said in Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with who? all men. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. So what I'm saying to some of us, how can I grow in my refreshing as a Christian? Lay up these. In verse 20, Paul wrote, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. He say, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Yeah. So what I'm saying to some of us that don't have a good relationship with other folk, do something to refresh them. Because what you are doing now, you're working on yourself. Yeah. You know, sometime I know Brother Ward used to say, he taught me this, my wife said it, that sometimes you have individuals that can't set horses. Yeah. Meaning we don't talk to each other. No, when you set horses, the analogy was fictively that when you're setting your horses, you're putting your saddle on the horse. And the other person putting his saddle on the horse. So while you putting your saddle on the horse, you talking to each other. You know, you tying that belt, you talking, say, hey, man, how the day going? We gonna go out, we gonna do some riding, we gonna catch some cattle. And some people can't set horses. We can't talk to each other. And I'm saying to all of us, we need to work on ourselves. There ought not be nobody in this congregation that you can't say hello, goodbye, and good morning to. There should be no one in this congregation that you purposely walk past them or avoid them so you don't have to. Yeah. We want to be a loving congregation. Starts with me. And like I say, anytime, and I'm human too. But that's not an excuse. That's who I am. Whenever I'm not upright walking, you have the right. Brother Stroud, I talked to you for a minute. I'd appreciate it. Sister, brother, I apologize for that. Amen. Because we're going to make mistakes. But what we get in error is when someone do us wrong, we go tell somebody else. Instead of coming to that person and allowing that person to correct himself. Because sometimes we go tell another person, now what you may not be doing, or what you may be doing, is painting a bad picture on that person that may not be, I may not have seen you. Brother Stroud, you ain't speak to me. Sister, I'm sorry, I was thinking about that, I didn't see you. But thank you for bringing that to my attention. Amen? So, as I close, Paul said, when it came to Onesiphorus, that he refreshed him. So the teaching today is that we develop a mindset and an attitude that we can refresh those people, because sometimes people are going through stuff, and if you're not careful, sometimes people will think about not wanting to be here because of tensions and stuff. And if you can be that person to intervene in their lives and tell them, you know, brother, it's going to be all right. Sister, it's going to be all right. You got the Lord on your side. We need that refreshing that we can lift each other up. Amen? Amen. Let me say this to those that may be visiting this morning. No one can truly be spiritually refreshed until they become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. So what is the process? You may be here this morning. You're visiting someone, brought you here. So Brother Paul, what is the process to become a child of God? Because understand this here. Nobody will go to heaven if you're not a child of God. No one. Jesus said, John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So you need to know what the Lord says regarding this. And I'd like to go stay with Timothy's letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. I'd like to share with people The Bible says there's one God. And there's one mediator between God and man. And Paul told Timothy, reminded Timothy, that man is Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that there's only one go-between between you and God, and that person is Jesus Christ. And then Paul told Timothy why he is the go-between. He said, because he gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. What the word ransom mean, Brother Stroud? Ransom, like you have somebody, they hold somebody up for a ransom. A ransom means somebody got to pay for somebody else to be released. All of us, when we reached the age of accountability, we were captive by sin. All of us. And so what Jesus did, Jesus gave up his life for our sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the condition that the Bible states when Jesus became our propitiation for our sin. Jesus died for all of our sins. Yeah. Your sins and my sin. You need to know Jesus died for my sin. Okay, I got that, brother. So what I need to do? Five things you need to do, the Bible teaches. Everything I'm putting up on the screen, this is what Jesus said. Jesus first said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the first thing you have to do to become a child of God is hear the word of God. Secondly, Jesus said in John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he sent. So you have to believe from the scriptures that God the Father sent God the Son to the earth. You have to believe that. Thirdly, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So what is repentance is? Repentance is when I turn from the life I've been living. Because right now, what no matter how good you think you've been living without God. Yeah, you've just been receiving mercy. Yeah. So repentance begins when I turn toward God. Turn from the life I've been living, and now I turn toward God. That's the beginning of repentance. Because Jesus said, if you don't repent, the word perish means you're going to be lost. Okay? I got that. So I got to hear something. I got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I got to turn from the way I'm living. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay? Then Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said, what you have to do this morning, you have to come down here, you have to make the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, found in Acts 8:37. You have to make that statement. Jesus said, confess me before others. Jesus said, then while in heaven, I'll confess you to God. And then the final act. Jesus said, he said in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what you got to hear. You got to hear the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? It's found in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And the gospel has three facts. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. That he was buried in a tomb. And he rose again the third day. That's the Son of God. For you to become a child of God, you must imitate what God's Son did. He died for sin. You have to die to sin. You die to sin when you are water baptized and buried in water. Jesus was buried in a tomb. You are buried in water for the forgiveness of all your past sin. What you need to understand that the blood and water was there when Jesus died. And so by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water and it cleanses you of all your past sins. Yeah. You're not a child of God until you do that. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from their past sins. And then when you're saved from your sin, as we went going back to Acts 2:47, praising God, having favored all the people, the Lord added to the church. Now you'll be added to the church, those that are saved. What is the church? The church is baptized believers that's been baptized into the Lord's church. Amen? And then we talk about what church, Brother Stroud? Romans 16:16 was on my slide. May have been an error there, on my part. But in Romans 16:16, Paul wrote them, salute one another, the holy kids. The churches of Christ salute you. You must understand, I said there's only one church. The church belongs to Christ because he paid for it with his own blood. Amen. What the Lord would do after your obedience to the gospel, the Lord would add you to church. Now you are a Christian. You're a member of the Church of Christ. There's someone today that would like to respond to that message. We're going to bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Amen?
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. On the portals he's waiting.
Is there anyone that won't obey the gospel?
Watching for you and for me.
Please come forward.
Come on.
Come on.
He who are weary, come on. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling.